You can't hear? Maybe you need hearing aid. All right. You can hear now. So, incidentally, as far as Uddarana Datta Thakur, Prabhupada comments elsewhere that Prabhupada appeared as one of the descendants of Uddarana Datta Thakur in the same family line. So it's very interesting. Anyway, so let's talk about these two great personalities. Mahesh Pandit, he was one of the great associates of Lord Nityananda, and he was one of the Dwadasha, which means 12 in Sanskrit, and also in Hindi. And one of the 12 great Gopals. Gopals are the 12 primary cowherd boy associates of Lord Nityananda. And it's described that he would dance so ecstatically that that you couldn't control him. It was like the beating of a kettle drum, like a madman. And so Srila Prabhupada, I'll read Srila Prabhupada's commentary about Mahesh Pandit. This is from Prabhupada's commentary of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. He said, the village of Mahesh Pandit, which is known as Palapada, is situated in the district of Nadia, within a forest about 1 mile south of the Chakadaha railway station. The Ganges flows nearby. It is said that formerly Mahesh Pandit lived on the eastern side of the Jirata, in the village known as Masipura or Rashipura. And when Masipura merged into the riverbed of the Ganges, the deities there were brought to Palapada, which is situated in the midst of various villages such as Beladanga, Derigrava, Sukhasagara, Chandudhe, and Benatpota. There are about 14 villages, and the entire neighborhood is known as the Pancha Nagara Paragan. It is mentioned that Mahesh Pandit joined the festival performed by Sri Nityananda Prabhu at Panihati. Narottamadas Thakur also joined in the festival, and that Mahesh Pandit saw him on that occasion. In the temple of Mahesh Pandit, there were deities of Gaura Nityananda, Sri Gopinath, gracias, muchas gracias, let's see. Sri Madan Mohan and Radha Govinda, as well as a Shalagram Shila. Mahesh Pandit used to dance, and this is all Prabhupada's words. Mahesh Pandit used to dance in the ecstasy of Krishna Prema, just like a madman. In the Gaura Ganadesh Dipika, it is written that in Braja Leela, he was the coward boy named Shriman Mahabahu. That means great arms. He was an especially close friend of Nityananda Prabhu and was present at the festival of yogurt and chip rice in Panihati that was held by Nityananda Prabhu. His birthplace was in what is now called Chakadaha. According to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, some people say that he was the younger brother of Sri Jagadish Pandit from the Yashohara district of West Bengal. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, on the other hand, says that some doubt remains to his birthplace as there is a lack of conclusive evidence on this subject. So he passed away on the 13th day of the dark moon in the month of Posha, which corresponds to this particular day in December, January. So just one thing about these biographies and descriptions of the saints from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. I remember when we first got the copy of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Adi Leela, many, many years ago, it was a very overwhelmingly, I hate to use the word ecstatic, but overwhelmingly emotional, positive emotional experience, because previously we in the Krishna Consciousness Movement had not had information about these personalities. And of course we knew about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we had read the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, of course, but we didn't know about the associates of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In fact, at one time I thought that Srivas Thakur and Srinivas Thakur were the same person, because, you know, I just thought that they misspelled the name or spelled it a different way. So there was no information like that. I mean, at least that I had, or any most of the devotees had. So as soon as these books came out, it sort of opened up Lord Chaitanya's pastimes and really brought it to life, let's say. Because, you know, you hear about Lord Chaitanya, but to hear about Lord Chaitanya surrounded, Gaura Bhakta Vrindas were chanting, isn't it? We're not only chanting... Okay, I got the message. We're not only chanting Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivas, but we're also saying Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. You understand? So this really gave us, like, it just expanded our horizon, for lack of a better word, in appreciating Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that when the Chaitanya Charitamrita came out, it was like, I mean, devotees were like devouring, to use a lack of a better word, they were devouring the book. I mean, they were just reading it and hearing. And also when you hear about where people were born, where people lived, who they associated with, it really just like opened up a whole new world for us. I don't know if I can explain it properly, but anyway, that's exactly what it did. So anyway, so nowadays, of course, people don't have so much enthusiasm to read as they did previously. But in those days, whenever we got these books, it just like it was a new exploration. It was like better than National Geographic. You understand National Geographic? Anyway, so and now we'll hear about Uddarana Datta Thakur, who was the predecessor, at least the seminal line from Srila Prabhupada, going down to Srila Prabhupada. So we're going to quote again from Srila Prabhupada's commentary on the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Uddarana Datta Thakur was the 11th of the 12 cowherd boys. And he was a devotee of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. He worshipped the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda Prabhu in all respects. And according to the Gaura Ganadesh Dipika, it is stated the devotee who was formerly known as Subahu, that's interesting, previously Mahesh Pandit was Mahabahu, and Uddarana Datta Thakur is Subahu. So Mahabahu means great arms, and Subahu means auspicious arms. It's interesting. And so Subahu was a coward boy in Braj, and he was one of the coward boys in Vrindavan, which is stated here, and appeared later in Gaura Lila as Sri Uddarana Datta Thakur. More from Srila Prabhupada's commentary. Uddarana Datta Thakur, previously known as Sri Uddarana Datta, was a resident of Saptagram. Sapta means the seventh village. Saptagram. Gram is like a village. So Saptagram. It's interesting. Which is situated in the bank of the Saraswati River near the Tris Biga railway station in the district of Hugali. At the time of Uddarana Datta Thakur, Saptagram was a very big town encompassing many other places such as Vasudevpura, Mansavedya, Krishnapura, Nityanandapura, Shivapura, Sanghanagara, and Saptagram. Calcutta was developed under British rule by the influential mercantile community and especially by the Suvarna Vanak community, who came from Saptagram to establish their businesses and homes all over Calcutta. They were known as the Saptagram Mercantile Community of Calcutta, and most of them belonged to the Mulik and Seal family. So Srila Prabhupada appeared in the Mulik family. I think you might have read that. More than half of Calcutta belonged to this community, as did Uddarana Datta Thakur. And Srila Prabhupada actually says that here. Our paternal family also came from this district and belonged to the same community. The Muliks of Calcutta are divided into two families, naming the Seal family and the Day family. So, of course, Prabhupada is called Day also, right? Whose members intimately connected with the Mohammedan rulers, therefore they received the title Mulik. In the Chaitanya Bhagavat Anchakanda, chapter 6, it is stated that Udranadatta was an extremely elevated and liberal Vaishnava. He was born with the right to worship Lord Nityananda. It is also stated that Nityananda Prabhu, after staying for some time in Kadahaha, came to Saptagram and stayed in the house of Udranadatta Thakur. The Suvarnabhanic community, Suvarna means actually gold. It's actually interesting. Suvarna means auspicious color. In Sanskrit. I mean, it's interesting when you know some of the Sanskrit. Su always means auspicious. Like we have Subhadra, and his name was Subahu, which means auspicious arm. So Suvarna, Varna means like color. So Suvarna means the auspicious color, which is gold. It's interesting, the word for gold here. And even in other cultures, people who are mercantile, members of the mercantile community, had gold attached to their names. Like, I know in the Jewish community, it's like Goldstein, Goldberg, Golden, whatever, Mr. Golden. It's really interesting, anyway. The mercantile community. There was a misunderstanding between Bala Sain and the Suvarnabhanic community because of the great banker Gaura Sain. Bala Sain was taking loans from Gaura Sain and spending money extravagantly, and therefore Gaura Sain stopped supplying money. Bala Sain took revenge by instigating a social conspiracy to make the Suvarnabhanic community degraded, to be seen to be graded. And it was again elevated. It is said in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Yateka, Nayaka, Kula, Udurana Haite, Pavitra, Haila, Dvira, Nahika, Ihate. There is no doubt that all the community members of the Suvarnabhanic community were again purified by Lord Nityananda Prabhu. So in this place called Saptagram, there is a six-armed deity. Of course, that's the deity of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's called Sadbhuja deity, in which Lord Chaitanya, of course, you have Lord Chaitanya holding the danda and the water pot, and then you have Krishna with the flute, and then holding the flute, and then you have Lord Ramchandra, like that. So that's called the Sadbhuja deity. So that deity was personally worshipped by Sri Udranadatta Thakur. I believe there was a picture of it in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, if I'm not wrong. Anyway, there's a picture of that. And there's also small Radha Krishna deities in Shalagram's Shila that was worshipped by Udranadatta Thakur, and a picture of Udranadatta Thakur. Let's see. Oh, here's some more words from Srila Prabhupada. When we returned from America in 1967, the executive committee members of this temple invited us to visit it, and thus we had the opportunity to visit this temple with some American students. Formerly, in our childhood, this temple is very much connected with Srila Prabhupada, because it's Srila Prabhupada's family. Formerly, in our childhood, we visited this temple with our parents because all the members of the Suvarnabhanic community enthusiastically take interest in this temple of Udranadatta Thakur. In the Bengali year 1283, one Babaji of the name Nitai Das arranged for a donation of 12 bighas of land for this temple. That's a bigger, so that's about 8 acres. Actually, it's interesting. The bigha is the measurement of land in India, and wherever you go in India, a bigha means something different. That's how organized India is. Because I know we've been purchasing land in different places. So when you go to West Bengal, it's a certain amount of land. When you go to UP, Uttar Pradesh, it's another amount of land. It's hard to figure out what they mean by bigha. Anyway, that's India. The management of the temple later deteriorated, but there in 1306, that's the Bengali year, 1306, not our year, which is about 1700 or 1800. Through the cooperation of the famous Balaram Mulik of Hooghly, who was a sub-judge, many rich Suvarnabhana community members, the management of the temple improved greatly. Not more than 50 years ago, one of the family members of the Udharanadatta Thakur, named Jagamohan Dutt, established a wooden deity of Udharanadatta Thakur in the temple. But that deity is no longer there. At present, there is a picture of Udharanadatta, which is worshipped. It is understood, however, that the wooden deity of Udharanadatta was taken away by Sri Madan Mohan Datta and is now being worshipped with a Shalagram Shila by Srinath Datta. So there's a whole history which Srila Prabhupada gives. And also there's some interesting information in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. After Nityananda Prabhu stayed for many days at Kadadaha, he went to Saptagram. There's a famous ghat in Saptagram at the confluence of the three rivers, which is celebrated as being the place of the seven rishis. At that ghat on the Ganges, the seven rishis had once performed penances in order to attain the lotus feet of Govinda. Three divine goddesses came together at that place, the Yamuna, Saraswati, and the Janavi. That's, of course, the Ganges. These three goddesses of rivers join at the confluence of these three rivers. It is the most holy place within this world. One may be delivered from all of his sins just by seeing this place. Lord Nityananda was extremely happy to see that place and bathe in that holy place with all the devotees. Udharanadatta was staying in the temple of the Lord in the banks of that river when Lord Nityananda Prabhu came to the Triveni. When he saw Lord Nityananda, he offered his mind, body, and feet, mind, body, and words to the holy feet of Lord Nityananda and worshipped him without any duplicity in his heart. As a result of the mercy of Lord Nityananda, Udharanadatta was qualified by constitution to worship and serve Lord Nityananda. Who can estimate his good fortune? Although he may appear to take birth within the material world, Nityananda is by nature the supreme controller. So, let's see. The moon-like Nittai Chan frolicked in kirtan within the midst of all the devotees there. All the vaniks, that means all the merchants, it was like all the Vaishyas, pure devotee Vaishyas, took shelter at the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda, worshipped him with great ecstasy. Seeing all the vaniks absorbed in Krishna bhajan under the direction of Lord Nityananda, the whole world was amazed. Indeed, it would be like going into the shopping area somewhere and all the shopkeepers would come out and start dancing in ecstasy. So that's what I mean. Vanik means like shopkeeper or merchant. Indeed, the universe itself was astonished to witness the exalted greatness of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, who delivered the lowest of men, the foolish and illiterate, and the entire Vanik community. In this way, Lord Nityananda performed various pastimes of Sankirtan and Saptagram, delivering the inhabitants of Saptagram as well as hundreds of their descendants within the Vanik community. In the same way that the towns and villages of Nadia were filled with happiness when Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda had performed Sankirtan there, Saptagram was filled with happiness at the pastimes of Lord Nityananda. So after Lord Chaitanya disappeared, Sri Janava Mata came to Saptagram and visited the house of Udharanadatta Thakur. And, of course, Udharanadatta Thakur had already passed away. He passed away on the 13th day of the dark moon in the month of Posha, which is today. So, now we'll go on to Srimad Bhagavatam. So, reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter 28, text 18. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Loka antaram. Into a different life. Gatavati mai. When I am gone. Anata. Bereft of husband. Kutumbini. Surrounded by all family members. Vartishyate. Will exist. Katam. How? To. Then. Esha. This woman. Balakan. Children. anushochati, lamenting about. So translation, King Ranjana was anxiously thinking, alas, my wife is encumbered by so many children. When I pass from this body, how will she be able to maintain all these family members? Alas, she will be greatly harassed by thoughts of family maintenance. So you can repeat, King Ranjana was anxiously thinking. Alas, my wife is encumbered by so many children. When I pass from this body, how will she be able to maintain all these family members? Alas, she will be greatly harassed by thoughts of family maintenance. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. All these thoughts of one's wife indicate that the king was overly engrossed with thoughts of woman. Generally, a chaste woman becomes a very obedient wife. This causes a husband to become attached to his wife, and consequently, he thinks of his wife very much at the time of death. This is a very dangerous situation, as is evident from the life of King Ranjana. If one thinks of his wife instead of Krishna at the time of death, he will certainly not return home back to Godhead, but will be forced to accept the body of a woman and thus begin another chapter of material existence. Love. So, Lokantaram gatavati mayanna takutumbani patishyate katam dvesha balakananu. So, Omagana Timidandasha Gananjana Shilakaya Jakshur and Meditam Yena Tasmai Shigurve Maha. So, here you have a real problem as far as household life is concerned. A real problem. It's called damned if you do, damned if you don't. So, you know, if the wife is just like very chaste, which she's supposed to be, I mean, it's not that this verse is advocating the wife should be just simply like hell on wheels. I don't know if you know that expression. Or like Putana, or that's a more Vedic expression. Or like, you know, Nagarani or something like that. So it's not, you know. So on one hand, you said, you know, the wife, you're advocating the wife should be nice and chaste. And, of course, there's a story. I was reading about the Vedic culture. It's really interesting how, and you'll read about this later on in this chapter, how it was in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there was this great devotee, Kalidas, and he was taking the remnants of all the Vaishnava prasadam, but that's not really the story I'm telling today. So he went to this devotee's house, Jadu Thakur, and he offered him some mangoes, and Kalidas hid outside to sort of enjoy the remnants of this great devotee. Even though this great devotee, Jadu Thakur, was in the Shudra family, Kalidas wanted to take his remnants because Kalidas considered that the remnants of Vaishnava or Vaishnava is transcendental to all the Varnashram distinctions. And later on, of course, as a result of that, he got to drink the foot bathing water of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So anyway, so the reason I'm telling that story is that in Jadu Thakur's house, Jadu Thakur offered the mangoes, of course, and he ate the mangoes and he sucked on them, and then he gave the pits and the skin to his wife. Now, we in America, we hear this and we go, you know, why didn't they sit down together? Or why didn't the wife eat it first and the husband take the pits? So anyway, you know, we have trouble accepting this in our culture, isn't it? I mean, if you put this out, like, on the internet, you know, this is how household life should be conducted. The wife should simply eat the husband's remnants when he comes home. At night, she should always have a smile on her face. She should never say, guess what your kids did today? Because when she says your kids, that means they were real bad. If she says my kids, they were really good, and if she says our kids, that means they were neutral, right? Anyway, so she should never say anything like that. She should have her hair combed nicely and dreadlocks. And depending on the culture, of course. So, little humor there, throwing in class. So, but at least you should have a fall on, you know, a fall is like a wig that you attach to your hair. And she should look nice, have a smile, no matter what else happened in the day. With just a big smile on her face. Speaking sweetly. I mean, you present that to the Western, and then she serves her husband, you know, she's been cooking all day, rolls her chapatis gently down the street. Anyway, so she's been rolling chapatis, perfectly round, and they're all cupped up really nicely. Ramadaka said when a chapati pups up or a puri pups up, it's Krishna's pleased with you. So, you know, I haven't seen a puffed up chapati in a long time. So, anyway, so they're, most of the time they're just flatbreads here. So, so she sees him, she serves him nicely, you know, and she even knows what side to serve him from. You know, when you're serving some from one side. I even forget which side. I think it's the left side. His left side. And then she speaks sweetly and then when he's finished, she just cleans up, takes his remnants, massages his feet when he's taking rest. Even with Lord Chaitanya, you find that his wife massages his feet like that. So he's taking rest and she massages his feet. Dear, and then she stays up later than him and wakes up earlier than him. Actually, that was also described in the Mahabharat. You had Satyabhama questioning Draupadi, you know, how do you keep your five husbands satisfied? You know, or even how do you control them? Because she was interested in controlling Krishna. You know, like, what womanly tricks do you use? You know, she wanted to find out. I mean, it's interesting, because Satyabhama is an expansion of Radharani, so it's all like a very rasika type of exchange. So Draupadi said, I don't use any of these cheap tricks, basically. What I do is I wake up earlier than my husband's, and I go to sleep later, and then all day long I'm serving them, and that way they're satisfied. And so, anyway, so you hear these descriptions there, and it really goes against the Western grain, doesn't it? And I'm not saying I advocate it in the West. Please don't get me wrong. You know, I have people like getting angry with me, but this is there of recognizing the different psychologies of people, because you know, a chaste woman, when she gets married to someone very young, she just has a serving attitude. Nowadays, I said I can't advocate it because people, the society is very dysfunctional. Neither are men very protective. You know, they're abusive sometimes, and they don't have the right attitude. People aren't faithful to each other. I mean, it's just a horrible mixed bag that we're stuck with in Western society. So I'm not saying that we should impose this on the devotees, this particular dynamic. Because people are brought up in different ways, it's a different culture, okay? But in the Vedic culture, it recognizes a different psychology. Like a man, he has this... The man's psychology, anyway. He wants to be the king, the controller. And he thinks he's a Purusha. Purusha means basically male controller. Krishna's Adi Purusham. But he wants to be Adi Purusham, too. A man is the king of his castle. He comes home with his castle. Anyway, so it recognizes the psychology of the male and female. That's really why it's there. So, of course, then when they're both in this ideal situation, they both tend to get really attached to the situation. I mean, the wife gets so attached that when her husband dies, she jumps in the fire, right? I mean, that's real attachment. I'm not saying anything negative or positive about it. I'm just giving an objective view of what is there. But she becomes so attached that when the husband dies, she can't bear to live without the husband. Even when Pandu died, Madri was happy to go into the fire. It's not that, like in the forced Sati rite, that they had to throw her into the fire, but she was happy to enter into the fire because there was so much love there, so much, let's say, attachment. Of course, if one's a great devotee, it's really good. Like if you have a husband like Pandu, or, you know, a husband like Krishna, then that sort of attachment is good. And if your wife is a pure devotee, then that sort of attachment is good. However, there, you know, because of that dynamic, the wife becomes very attached and the husband becomes very attached. And in one sense, that can be dangerous for spiritual life. Of course, it's good for keeping society stable. I mean, you have a very stable society, so we're not preaching against that. However, how can you remain, the question is, because we don't have much time, the question is, how can you become detached in spite of having this ideal situation where you're being served hand and foot, the man is being served hand and foot, and the woman is being protected by the long arms of the husband, you know, and is completely attached to him? How do you become Krishna conscious? And the answer is, of course, to always be engaged in hearing and chanting about Krishna in the home. And then, just like Prabhupada described, then like a serpent whose fangs are removed. You understand? Fangs are removed. When I was young, I used to go to a place called the Serpentarium. I didn't live there. It was in Miami. There was this place called the Serpentarium. And they had all these serpents there. You know, vipers with the teeth and the forked tongue. You know, goats speak with forked tongue. White man speaks with forked tongue. You heard that expression before in the cowboy movies? That means you're cheating. That's an old expression, forked tongue. So they would take the serpents. And they would milk them. They would put them over this little test tube or jar or something like that. And the venom would come out. And so when the venom came out, they weren't dangerous anymore. You understand what I mean? The Prabhupada used that. That's Prabhupada's example. When you remove the fangs of the serpent, that is when you have Krishna consciousness in the center, then even your attachments become transformed to something spiritual because you're attached to devotees of the Supreme Personality of God. And then the attachment is no longer to exploit the person, but to serve the person. See, that's really the transformation that occurs when you engage in the process of sadhana, hearing and chanting. That whatever relationship you have, whether it's friendship, relationship, or, you know, conjugal or parental, whatever, it's no longer that what I get from you or what you get from me, it's how can I serve you? So both husband and wife, even though they may be doing the same thing, you know, the husband coming home, the wife smiling, and everything like that, they're both doing that out of service to each other. And so therefore you have great Vaishnava couples like Jayadev Goswami, who wrote the Gita Govinda, the most exalted work, with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, very much relished and appreciated. It's one of the main works that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu loved. And he was married to his wife, who was Padmavati, and she functioned as an ideal chaste wife, and they stayed together. And in this way, they were attached to Krishna, both attached to Krishna, and both pure devotees attached to each other, and so that's fine. That's fine. We're not saying that you have to look at your mate and just like say, oh, I have to give up this attachment to you. Please be nasty to me. Please be like Prabhupada's wife. You know, I mean, if that happens, and it does happen in Kali Yuga, people do get wives like Prabhupada's wife, and people do get husbands like Ravana. And so in that case, you take that as an opportunity to become detached and more attached to Krishna. So in either case, it's productive to Krishna consciousness. The point is that whatever situation Krishna gives you or puts you in, then you utilize that as an opportunity to become attached to Krishna. There's no situation that cannot be utilized. Except, you know, basically living completely with meat eaters all the time. I mean, that's a different thing. But basically, as long as one has the association of devotees, there is no situation where you cannot use that situation as an opportunity to advance properly. Whether it's a pleasant or an unpleasant circumstance, whether your wife is pretty, whether she's ugly as hell, it doesn't matter. Whether she's speaking nicely, or she has like the words of a viper, or the husband is whatever. Just use that as an opportunity to become closer to Krishna. You understand? There's no material impediment. You understand? There's no material impediment to Krishna consciousness, advancing in Krishna consciousness. One should not think they have to change their situation. Okay? On that happy note,